Electrician Live with your host, Paul Abernathy and Jay Brunberg.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Electrician Live. My name is Paul Abernathy, your host, with my co-host, as always, Mr. Jay Grunberg. Jay, welcome, as always, to the show. Oh, I can't hear Jay Grunberg. I can't hear him.
I had my mic on me. What's up? What's up?
He didn't want to come to the party. You know what I'm saying? He didn't want to turn it on.
I was waiting for you to work out all the kinks.
All the kinks. I've always got kinks. So, hey, welcome to the show. Again, we're going to have a great show. Jay, how was your week? Yeah, we worked up, we had last Saturday, we had a great show, and for the life of me, can't even remember what the topic was last week. It was a great show, but I don't remember what it was. What was it?
I think it was Prentosauruses.
Is that it? No, we don't know what those are. So we got over that fix for the week in all the hate mail that Jay got. So how was your week? Good week?
Oh, man, it's been great so far. It's been busy. It's been busy. Kind of like I was telling you earlier before we started that I have taken on a little bit of service work.
He took on a little service work.
So... I've done about four calls in the last, I don't know, maybe week or two. So
making a little bit of side money. You were using that Thumbtack, weren't you? The Thumbtack app.
I was using the Thumbtack app.
I've used that, and it never came out well for me. But Home Depot did. The little Home Depot deal works out sometimes. So, cool. Well, good week. Is it still snowing up in Colorado?
All the snow's dried up.
It's all gone.
All the snow's gone. Like I was telling you, we took down our Christmas lights, and one of my neighbors, she's in a van, and she pulls up to me as I'm taking down my lights today, and she goes, "Hey, I just want to thank you for taking your lights down."
I was like, "Oh, okay.
Oh, not the nice display that we gave the neighborhood for the last few weeks."
She says, "I'm glad you took it down." Well, you probably handle that much better than I would. I thought my neighbors would have come up and said, "You took yours down? Will you take mine down too?" You know, that type of thing. That's what my mind. But I don't put up Christmas lights. Oh, anyway, okay. So my week was a bunch of the same. A lot of grading, a lot of students. Great stuff this week. We had a great Wednesday night live stream. For those that don't know, we have gone private, if you will. I don't know. I don't know if I have a button for that. We've gone private. I got to get some new buttons, Jay. I got a bunch of new. Next week, God, I'm going to have a whole bunch of new sound effects. We did a live stream. Again, for those who are in the Fast Tracks program or paid subscribers over on the YouTube channel, you get to come every Wednesday night from 7:30 till 9:30 and join in. And it's a great show. Zoom's working great for that. So I was very pleased with it. You thought it went good? Jay was there.
Yeah, I thought it went really good. I thought it gave a chance for all of us to kind of chime in when we needed to, but then we didn't get too far off a topic too. It kind of kept it in. And you did a great job too, like always. Cool. So I think everybody came out.
Awesome.
A little bit of knowledge, a little extra knowledge.
Good. That's what we're after. So now what's new with that is we're going to record those now. So I'm going to make them available.
Yeah,
to those
did
members.
A poll. You did a poll and I checked it when you first put it out the first day, and it was like 100% yeses. And then I rechecked it just a few hours ago, and there was a couple no's on there. So
really?
I don't know where those came from, but you would think that you'd want to record them.
You'd think you'd want recorded ones. Whatever. Yeah. We're going to record them just so I can keep them for posterity and have them in case I need them. Because some of the topics are, again, I don't want to get redundant on them. So, if I record it, then I need to do another session. I can share it with students on things like box fill. This week, we're going to do raceway fill calculations. So anyway, I'm going to record it just because I have the bandwidth to do that now, and I want to be able to do it. So for those that are interested in that, you can ask more information on that over on our YouTube channel. You just have to subscribe at the Electrician Live exam prep level and higher. I think that's the $9.99 a month commitment or higher, and that will get you access to that. So Also, I had a new video come out that I did 2020 NEC for 225. Article 225, part one came out. And look for part two to come out shortly. So we're catching up on those 2020 NEC stuff for those who are in that 2020 series level. And then we've got some other things coming. We got another Electrical Blunders coming in 1st of February. It's a monthly series. So a bunch of stuff going on, working on behind the scenes. And another Electrician's Academy doing kitchens. Jay, that's coming out. That's the one where I analyze all the applications in the kitchen. Right, so that's coming out soon. Again, only available to those exclusive members on our YouTube channel. Okay.
What an important section to dive into too with the kitchens, because they can get tricky, man. You know, once you think you, I was just telling you, I went and did a service call today, and the lady had one circuit, one 20 amp circuit in her kitchen.
How old was this house?
Had two. It was, I don't know, maybe 84. 85?
Supposed to, they would have been required for a minimum of two small appliance brand circuits. It's been around forever. Hey, we got chatters in there. Mohammed, Joel, Nick, thanks for coming in. And, of course, we got the infamous ghost writer, Grundberg. Okay. Where is Jay at?
She says he's in the bedroom, but I'm in my office, as you can see.
As you can see, he's in the office.
Yeah, I just rented this penthouse.
That penthouse office. Just to do this show. That's right. I'm in space.
Nick, that's for you. That's for you, all that donations that you're giving.
You're able to buy it. Able to get the
penthouse. There it is. He just donated 25.
There you Woo-hoo! Go. Thank you.
Awesome. Looks like you said highlight of the week. He loves the series on Article 625.
So, say that again?
Nick did. Nick, he donated $25. And he said he loved the series on Article 625. Isn't that the
electric vehicles?
Electric vehicles.
Yeah, yeah. He liked the podcasts. Excellent. Those were on podcasts that I did. Excellent. Glad you liked them.
All right. I was actually just finished. I know you're getting into it, but I just finished series or part two of 220. So I'm getting caught up. I'm part of the NEC 2020 as well. I think it's $499. I'm obviously a little higher than that. I was able to put in a little bit more, but I'm getting caught up on 220. So I'm right your tail end.
You're in the extreme package over there, so the $14.99. But so you get everything anyway. But I think you haven't seen all of the Article 680 ones we did either. When I had my guest with me, Vince Delacroce. For those that don't know, I did a whole series on 680. With Vince with me. It was really great series. We were going to actually bundle that in a DVD and sell that. And I decided, why do that? Let's go on and make it available to the members of the paid tiers. So that's what I did. So I made it available. So that's up there too for those that are at the electrician live exam prep level and higher. You get access to that. All right. So let's get into tonight's topic, Jay, before we get too far in it. We're 8 minutes in. So tonight's topic is talking about metal clad cable, and we're going to talk about, and we're just going to have an open discussion. Feel free to chime in the chat room as well, as we're going to have a pretty open discussion about MC cables, uses permitted and uses not permitted. So Article 330, and tonight's show is going to be sponsored by Umcor Wire Corporation. Okay, so this show is dedicated. They are manufacturers of, obviously, metal clad cable, AC cable, obviously, tray cable, SE cables, individual conductors like THHN, THWN-2, RHH, RHW-2, XHHW-2, USC-2, all those type of products, non-metallic sheath cable, everything, again, manufactured by Encore Wire. So thank you, Encore Wire, for sponsoring our show tonight. And so, again, we're going to be talking about MC cable. Now, we're going to be focusing on uses permitted and uses not permitted. So, Jay, we want to make sure that we've got our code books cracked open to 330.10, which is the location for uses permitted. And, of course, you folks on the screen, we're going to bring up the information for us to be able to have this conversation. Now, hopefully I'm going to click it here and be the right one. And there we are. Okay. And let me see if I can get our chats going here. There we go. Okay. All right. So I'm going to kind of roll through this, Jay. Feel free to chime in whenever you want. You want to add some commentary to it, and we'll just kind of roll along. And what did he say? Not to be confused with metal sheath cable. Metal clad. What? What are you talking about, Nick? All right. So let's talk about it. In 330.10, there are 12 specific permitted uses and or locations given specific guidance to the user on the in the NEC. Within the itemized list, as you see, if you look at 330.10, you'll see an itemized list that there are constant industry confusion over what uses you can have within 330. For example, as you can see, those that are watching over on here, I got to remember, Jay, we got people listening over on the podcast. So if you're listening over on Spreaker, Spotify, Deezer, what, iHeartRadio, all those other platforms, or maybe even listening from Electrician Live website or from any of our podcast platforms, come on over if you want to see the video. Okay, jump on over to youtube.com/masterthenec and watch the video. You can see what we're doing, but we're going to do our best to convey this verbally so that everybody that's even listening can kind of grasp what we're talking about. Okay, all right. So let's talk about it. So, for example, why do we need to clarify this list, Jay? Because, for example, you have an item 3 in that list. If you look at your code book, you'll see there's an item 3 that talks about indoor and outdoor, which seems very location specific. But again, MC cable is a dry location product, again, as it is just basic MC. And we're talking about interlocked because there's different types. There's smooth, corrugated, or when we say smooth, many people also say continuous. It's smooth, corrugated, and interlocked. The interlocked is a tape that actually gets configured and interlocked as it's wrapped around the conductors that are fed through a cabling machine, whereas the smooth and corrugated are a continuous extrusion of a sheathing that goes over it. Okay, so a little different. We're talking about mainly what, and all of Encore Wire produces is the interlocked, okay? So that's what they produce, interlocked style. Now, typical MC is not rated for a wet location. And it might have wet location rated conductors in it, but typically it is a dry location rated product. It's for use in dry applications. However, as you'll see, there are certain things that we can do to that MC in order to create its use in a wet location. Ironically enough, nowhere in the standard, which if you didn't know what the standard was for MC cable, it's UL 1569. And incidentally, if you always wanted to know what AC cable was, which is very similar, AC cable is UL 4. So again, it shows you in the hierarchy of numbers, AC cable has been around a long time. MC cable is later on in the numbering sequence, but again, it's been around for quite a while. But it is a dry location product, so in order for it to use it in a wet location, there's some things that have to be done, okay? And we'll look at that, obviously, when we get to it. But it does cause confusion sometimes because they see item number 3, and it says, well, wait, it says MC can be used outside, only to later in the list tell you that in order to use it in a wet location, it's got to meet a certain construction design in order to be used. And there's a couple different options for construction design, but there's one that's mainly used by the manufacturers. And of course, we'll point that out when we get there. So we want to clear up the confusion on all of these. So that's kind of the whole point of our show tonight, right? Now, those that are looking at the screen or can see the screen, those that are on the podcast, I'll tell you, all we've done here is regurgitate. And some of you that might have a smaller screen might not even be able to see it. All we did was regurgitate what 330.10 is under the uses permitted. So that's broken down into a 330.10A, which is your general uses. And then, of course, you got 330.10B, and it subsequently has B1, B2, B3, and B4, all subdivisions under 330.10. So we're going to look at each one of these, but when I usually discuss it as a 30,000-foot view, Jay, I like to discuss what this means when you crack your code book open and you see this uses permitted and you see that it's broken down into an A and a B. So I like to explain it. And I always do it backwards because I'm going to explain B and all these specific uses before we explain the general use. So 330.10B specific use says type MC cable shall be permitted to be installed in compliance with parts 2 and part 3 of Article 725, which again is signaling and control, and 770.133, which is fiber optic, as applicable, and in accordance with 330.10(b)(1) through (b)(4). So we also know that, for example, there's a product out there called MC-LED. Now, that just happens to be Encore Wire's product. Other manufacturers make a product called MC-PCS, and or some of them might call MC-Duo. And what this is you have power conductors and you have signaling and control in the same cable assembly. And so, incidentally, I am the patent holder for that. That is one of my inventions. But everybody does it now. And we're not Encore Wire. Obviously, many people know I work for Encore Wire, too. So we're not going to fight that patent. It's not worth it. It's for the better good of the industry, for everybody to use it. Also, I argued that even though I have the patent on it, reality is it's been in the National Electrical Code forever, allowing you to have it in the same cable assembly where I could have low voltage or 0 to 10 volt conductors, for example, lighting and control, and also power all in the same product. So again, specific uses is just saying, okay, well, you're going to have these other uses other than these general uses for MC cable, and that's perfectly okay. Another example is 330.10(b)(1). It says cable tray. So here's what it says. It says type MC cable installed in cable trays shall comply with 392.10.12.18.20.22.30.46.56.60C and .80 of 392. Obviously, 392 is for cable tray. Now, the reason we have this, Jay, is because if I put MC cable in a cable tray, there's other things I have to be aware of. Spacing, layering, ampacities, clearances, all these type of things if I'm going to install this inside of a cable tray. And if you go look at 392, it's going to tell you that MC cable can be in a cable tray. So this is just kind of correlation to say, okay, it's perfectly fine for MC cable to be installed in cable trays as long as you meet the rules in 392 as referenced here at 330.10(b)(1). And incidentally, a lot of people ask about flame ratings. So MC cable that goes into a cable tray is going to have a flame rating of UL 1685 Method 1, which is a 70,000 BTU test. That's all that's required. Now, some engineers will want it to be something like an IEEE 1202 or FT4. And that is not the same as a UL 1685 Method 1. That's equivalent to a UL 1685 Method 2. And it just happens to do with how much charring you can have and the angle of the burner, and all of that changes a little bit. But you're not required to have it be more enhanced like an FT4 or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? You can't. It's only required to meet the minimum requirement, and that would be 1685 Method 1. I have no idea what Bill Cosby's saying. There's no such thing.
No, there's a guy who Dominic came in. He said he's watching from Kenya, Africa. That's sweet. Awesome. And then we Welcome. Have Chris Lightsey says, how do you do a 120 plug? I'm new.
Sorry, Chris. Not the show, man. For you, brother. I not hate to discourage you, but Electrician Live is not doing that tonight. Appreciate your input, though. You want to get into fast tracks, or you want to get into our Wednesday night thing, and you can ask all kinds of code questions if you want, but not what this show's about. Thanks for coming, though. All right, so the next one is 330.10(b)(2), and that is direct burial. So this is also giving me permission to take MC cable and directly bury it into the earth, but there has to meet some caveats. And it says, direct burial cable shall comply with 300.5, which is interesting enough because I think, Jay, we're going to do a show on 300.5. So that is all the rules by placing it underground. So you have a bunch of different rules you have to follow when you place it underground. All this is saying, you know what? MC cable is fine to be direct buried. One, if it's listed for such and marked as such, but it also has to comply with the rules of 300.5. And then, of course, that's for applications 1,000 volts and less. And, of course, 300.50 would be over 1,000-volt applications, right? 330.10(b)(3), installed as service entrance cable. So a lot of people don't know that. Jay, give Chris some help here. Chris, I'm not going to get into that in this show. but Jay or Miss Jay, post www.masterthenec.com and go there, and there's a link, and there's videos and everything on the Fast Track program. It's an exam learning program. All right, for studying for the NEC. All right, Nick. All right, you know what? Jay is my moderator, so Jay, you have full carte blanche to start kicking people out of the room if the conversation starts going south. We're talking MC Cable tonight, everybody. So, all right, so 330.10b3, can I use MC Cable, Jay, as service entrance cable? And it's absolutely you can. And that's in accordance with 230.43. Of course, if it's outside, yep, it would have to be PVC jacketed, which we'll talk about later. But it is most certainly you can use it as MC cable, as service entrance cable, most certainly. And then the last one, kind of this overview before we get into the general uses, which is what we really want to talk about, installed outside of buildings or structures or as aerial cables. An aerial cable being going from one building to another. It says type MC cable installed outside of a building or structure or as aerial cable shall comply with 225.10. So 225 is kind of ironic because I just released an analysis of 225 part one today for our 2020 NEC series over on the YouTube channel. But that is applications outside or on the building or outside of a building from a building to structure or building to pole. And of course you got 396, which is talking about messengers. So messenger means a support system from point A to point B, from building to building, building to pole, building to structure that actually would support the weight. Okay. Support the weight of the cable assembly, in this case, the MC cable. And if you go look at 396.10, you'll see that MC cable is listed there to be used on a messenger, which many people don't know that. Okay. All right. So that's kind of some specific uses. The code's just giving you credence to it. We know that we do this all the time. Now let's get into the general uses. And as you see them on the screen, which is very teeny writing, we're going to look at them in bigger text. We're going to look at each one of those independently. Okay. All right. Number one, the first one we're going to look at is the section is broken down into two subdivisions, an A and a B. We just looked at B, so now it's time to examine A. And of course, at the end, we're going to look at uses not permitted under dot 12. So for exam freaks out there who are studying for exams, using the Fast Tracks program or however you use it, or what you're studying with, one thing to remember is dot 10 in the wiring methods is always uses permitted. Dot 12 is uses not permitted. Something to always remember, one of those things, like I always remember dot 30J is for securing and supporting in raceways and cables. That's the section for securing and supporting. So dot 10 is the section for uses permitted for the wiring methods. Dot 12 is uses not permitted. Some things to just to think about. All right, so item one is for services, feeders, and brand circuit. All right, I'm going to give my translation. Obviously, the code language is what's in bold, and my translation is what comes below it. So item one for services, feeders, and brand circuit. Translation, the use of MC cable is acceptable for use in all circuits we encounter in an electrical system. The use of metal clad for service entrance comes directly from the reference in 230.43, item 13, and by virtue of the statement in item 1, which tells me, obviously, I can use it for brand circuits and feeders. It says it right there in item number 1. So brand circuits under 210, and the feeders is under 215, right? So Jay, have you've used MC cable? You were telling me, I guess it was the other day, about your a little use of some MC cable. I don't know if you want to share that one tonight. Yeah. But sure.
So before I get into that, just so you guys know, Chris Lightsey, he's my best friend.
I know.
So that's my buddy who he's downstairs and he's watching the game. So I'm giving him some crap. But no, I was telling you the other day, I went and walked a job and we had to install some floor boxes, and we looked at the panel and figured it would just be best to run a new circuit out. And so I told my technician that day, I said, well, let me just go into 330. And I, again, like you said, I looked at 330.10. It said indoors or outdoors. I said, okay. And, or 330.10A3, indoors mm-hmm. or outdoor. Yep. And then 330.10A4, exposed or concealed. Great. Right?
You figured you're done,
exposed.
Right?
I'm done. Go ahead and run it. So I had him run it, and then I was talking to you, and you're like, well, was it PVC jacketed? And I'm like, well, no.
So from your junction box to an exterior panel, you ran regular
that little
MC,
2 foot of wire,
a little two foot of wire outside. 2 foot of cable is a violation of the code because MC cable is only rated for a dry location unless it's PVC jacketed.
Once I found that out, I told my buddy to go back and put electrical tape on it.
Liar! You know daggone well you didn't. Next, you're lying. He's lying.
So,
all right, whatever. All right, so the next.
That was my scenario this week that I ran into. It's funny that I ran into it and we talked about it because now I have to go get some PVC jacket MC, probably 12-2, just because you can use that on a 15 or a 20. But now I had to go put it on the van, so.
All right, so
at least not expensive.
Yep. All right, so item number 2 on our list is for power lighting control and signaling circuits. So, translation: when you see this in the National Electrical Code, Nick says he's retracting his resume. Oh, come on! He's the basement king. He didn't say he was the outside wiring king. All right, so as long as he's in the basement, he's good. All right, so power lighting control and signaling circuits. Translation: it is common acceptable within the NEC to use metal clad. And somebody asked what clad was. The clad is basically the armor, and I'm sure there's a more formal term than that, but it's basically the armor. It's actually a tape, and it's either aluminum or steel, and steel is usually galvanized. It's the name of it is just called metal clad. It's a cladded armor. Now, translation, it's common and acceptable within NEC to use metal clad cable for power circuits. We do it every day. It's basically its main driver. Such as for those electrical equipment and receptacles for cord and plug connected devices, as well as the general illumination systems within the building or structure. So I can run it around the room, run it through the studs, run it to outlet boxes for receptacles that go in it so that I subsequently can put in and plug in cord and plug connected loads, just like maybe the office at Jay's right there that's virtual. No, that's real. And sure, there's receptacles all around it, but if it's in a building like that, then it's probably either conduit or it probably is MC cable. Okay.
Right up here.
Yep, there you go, right up there. So, however, the use of metal clad cable is also very common for use with things like control wiring for motors. So it doesn't always have to be just power. Okay, it could be the control aspect of our motor control circuit. Which wouldn't come out as power because generally what that might be is a control system with a stop-start solenoid, and it pulls it in and it locks it in, and once it's in, it runs until it loss of power, then it decouples. All of those could be an MC cable. It's done all the time. Again, there's also applications where signaling circuits are done in an MC cable for signaling applications. Some building automation stuff might be done in metal clad cable. So it's not always just power. It can be, again, power, lighting control, and a mixture of both. In fact, that, again, is what our MC LED for Encore Wire, but for other companies, it's called MCPCS or MC Duo or whatever. Again, it's a mixture of both 0 to 10 volts for lighting and control, as well as power conductors all together in the same assembly. And it would be allowed to do that, not only under UL 1569, but also makes reference to it in Article 725. All right, so, and if I go off memory, I think it's 725-136-I-2 that we utilize most of the time. All right, anyway, so.
We used to run that stuff. A lot in this when I was wiring up schools, you'd use it for the lighting control with the MC with the low voltage 0 to 10 dimming.
Yeah,
you use it in the lighting system and it helped because the system was set up too for the room when the sun would reflect and you'd get a certain amount of light. It would balance out the room light to match
shading.
It. So there was shading as well. So it was really nice to have that 120. And that low voltage to just one connection and to be able to run it together. So I used to do it a lot in schools.
Yeah, that's big in California, right? Because they have these daylight shading and they have these, you know, Title 24 rules and all this energy
and
rules.
Energy efficiency, yep.
You know, so again, there's a lot of the MC with the 0 to 10 and the power in it because it can also go anywhere. For daylight harvesting applications or any application where we might have a dimming system or a shading system and a power system, and you need both power and 0 to 10 at the same location, that type of thing. So very common. But again, you could run just low voltage in it. You know, when we say low, let's say 0 to 10. Hey, incidentally, somebody submitted for the 2023 to come up with a new definition called low voltage for those low voltage contact limits, and it got rejected. So again, low voltage is anything.
Low.
Yeah, it's anything that would be low. I got the reference.
How many
dude.
Lows?
I'm not that old. I'm not that old. I got the reference. Don't be hating. All right. Hey, I see Michael's in the room. Joe's in the room.
Michael, what's up?
Elwood's in the room.
Joe.
All right. So next item three. We come to the infamous indoor and outdoor. Okay. So when we hit this on the list, and the interesting thing about the list with the MC cable is it not only talks about specific conditions, but in this list, it also talks about very location driven. Okay. So translation for indoor and outdoor, it says use of metal clad cable is quite common and acceptable for all types of indoor uses. However, the use of metal clad cable outdoors is acceptable as stated in item three with the caveats that we're going to discuss a little bit later. And we'll talk about that. One thing to say is something is permitted in a specific location in the code. The perception from people is that because it says it's outdoors, that all of it's outdoor rated, or it can all be installed outdoors. And that's just not the case. It's just telling you, hey, you can use MC indoors and outdoors. Now, to kind of put context to this, you got to remember that when we talk in this list of MC cable, Jay, we're not just talking about the most commonly used, which is the interlocked. We're still talking about things like the smooth and corrugated. And the smooth, for example, is perfectly fine in a wet location. So you got to understand that while you have certain things you have to do to the interlocked, the smooth type of MC cable is perfectly okay in a wet location. So I have the different types to be aware of. So we're just not talking about interlocked here. When we say indoor-outdoor, we're talking about the whole gamut of MC products. It's just the majority of the products are, and Jay, you keep track of questions and then bring them up and I'll answer the questions. But the majority of the product that's sold today is going to be the interlocked type. And it comes in one roll of tape and it feeds into a machine. And as the conductors go through the machine, there is a bird's beak that actually, a die that actually will wrap the armor around the conductors as they go through the machine. And it interlocks it, okay? That's right. How that was. Now, the other types, smooth and corrugated, a little different. Corrugated, similar, but then it's a welded process. But the smooth is an extrusion, just like an EMT extrusion, kind of similar. Okay?
All right. Dimitro, he said that they use a lot of that. He calls it MC with dimmer wire. That's probably what they reference
it. Is that what they call it?
In California.
Yeah. So,
and he said NMB2 as well. And I've seen that at our residential supply house, the NMB with the 0 to 10 volt or low.
Yeah,
voltage.
So that's fairly low. That's fairly low, new too. I think that's more gimmicky, personally, because at the end of the day, for dwellings when you're going to use NMB, most people are going to have Wi-Fi systems anyway. So once you take those, once it's together in a cable assembly like that, but once you get it to the box, then you're going to have to separate at the box unless it's inherently into the piece of equipment that it's connected to. It creates more problems than it's probably worth. And so I think, obviously, the NMB version of that is more gimmicky. But I also believe that the MC version of that is very valid because of daylight harvesting and dimming systems and things that need power and 0 to 10. Probably not so much for the NMB stuff. But incidentally, it's also still called PCS. The real name of it is MC-PCS or NM-PCS for ones that have the 0 to 10 in with it. Okay.
Yeah, so Estrada says, can you use MC cable in EMT?
So we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Hang on. And we'll get to that. Hang on. Any questions that are germane, we'll try to, but hang on there. The question, Bill, it says, is smooth MC still interlocked? No. Smooth is an attenuous extrusion. Okay, so it has a little different rating. For example, normal MC, the armor can't be used as an equipment ground. That's just normal MC. Whereas a smooth MC, the armor can be used as an equipment ground inherently because of how it's extruded over it. Okay, it's different. All right, so now item three permits the use of metal clad outdoors, but not as we know it as far as just plain interlocked MC. And that's what we're going to try. Most of our conversations tonight is going to be about interlocked. Very few people use smooth or corrugated anymore, okay? Except for in some hazardous location applications. All right, number four, exposed or concealed. So translation, the use of metal cable is acceptable for exposed work, such as running on the surface of a wall or ceiling, as long as the cable is not subject to physical damage. So MC cable, even though, interesting tidbits, folks, MC cable has to meet a crush and impact rating of 1,000 foot-pounds, okay? Or if it gets over, I think it's 2-gauge and larger, it has to be 2,000 foot-pounds of crush and impact. And incidentally, tray cable has to meet the exact same crush and impact standard. However, just because it has to pass that without damaging the conductors and in 10 full samples, that doesn't mean that it's subject to physical damage. It still can't be anywhere that's subject to physical damage, okay? Like you can have with rigid IMC, EMT now under 2020 is okay for physical damage. Never was before, but it is now. In schedule 80 PVC is okay for places where it's subject to physical damage, but not MC. Even though MC is flexible, tends to move out of the way, all those type of things, it's still not rated for subject to physical damage. Okay, so you can run it on the surface of the building, you can run it on the, you know, on the wall, whatever you want. You just have to look at the condition and determine whether or not it's something that would be subject to physical damage. Now, running it around the room of my wall, just because it's exposed, somebody say, well, that's subject to physical damage. Not unless I'm running around my wall with an axe or a hatchet, or, I mean, really, is it? So we have to use a little common sense, but sometimes common sense is not so common anymore, and people can make it difficult. I used to say anytime I'd run it in the corner of a wall or behind of a piece of equipment, if I had to get past the equipment to get to it, then it wasn't subject to physical damage. But every inspector will be a little different. Just realize that MC cable is not rated for subject to physical damage. And, of course, as you expected, Jay, the physical damage is not defined in the National Electrical Code. Okay? So you're going to have to use the best interpretation of your, Jay, and your wife says, don't answer any of Chris's questions. Yeah.
They're having fun, man. They're having some fun.
Now, Bill says, no outdoor rating because of the interlocked feature. No, actually, you'll see in a minute that interlocked is fine in a wet location, but it has to meet some caveats to do so. Okay? Now, when we say exposed, again, exposed on the wall, when we say concealed, we say it's concealed in the wall, encapsulated in the wall, inside the building, finished between gypsum board, drywall, whatever you want to call it, plywood, finish, fiberboard, whatever you want to call it. Inside of those walls, it's concealed perfectly fine for metal clad cable. And when it comes to physical damage, don't forget you have 300.4, which has got some rules that you have to follow over there if it's subject to physical damage as well. So be aware of those rules if you're going to run your MC cable in a location where it could be subject to physical damage. All right, the next one.
We got a donation by your very own Jay Grunberg.
He did it magically.
So thank you. Thank you to myself.
Thank you to yourself. Thank you. All right.
So now with MC, if you're putting it in the wall, if you're concealing it in the wall and you still, let's say you can't get it. You can't put the MC cable an inch and a quarter back from the face of the stud. Do you still have to put a plate to protect it?
All right. So you got your code book 300.4. I didn't want to bring it up on the screen. How'd I know you would go there? So anybody wants to follow along, get your code book out. And you'll notice that the way 300.4 is broken down, you've got cable and raceways, and you run through wood members. Notches in wood, and then you see where it says specific to B, 300.4B, it says non-metallic sheath cable and electrical non-metallic tubing through metal framing members, okay, so very specific to it, right? But anywhere that you see where it says cable and raceways, it's very specific to it, okay? So, for example, let's look at 300.4A1, just through board holes, okay? For those that are following, I'm not going to switch away, so grab your code book. It says, in both exposed and concealed location where a cable or raceway-type wiring method is installed through board holes in joists, rafters, or wood framing members, or wood members, holes shall be bored so that the edge of the hole is not less than a quarter of an inch from the nearest edge of the wood member. Okay? It says, where the distance cannot be maintained, the cable or raceway shall be protected from penetrations by screws or nails by a steel plate or bushing at least 1/6 of an inch thick and or appropriate length and width installed to cover the area of the wiring. Now, there's some exceptions here. The exception says, number one, steel plates shall not be required to protect rigid metal, intermediate metal, rigid non-metallic conduit, and electrometallic tubing. Does not give you an exemption for MC, which is a cable. So you're still going to protect it, folks, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
All right? And so, again, so that's kind of the same motif there. Now, when you get to B, that is very specific to non-metallic products. So, again, it's not dealing with MC for that, okay? Now, when you get to C, same thing. Nothing exempts MC from this. And you get to D, when it says cables and raceways parallel to framing members, it's exactly the same way. It's not exempting MC. So just be careful with it. It can be damaged, and it is pretty easy for you to drive a screw or a nail through MC, just as easy as you could through a non-metallic product, okay? Just as easy. So keep that all in mind. Not there's no exemption there for you, and MC is not super, okay? Now, the good thing about MC is it has a tendency to move, whereas EMTs and things, they don't have a tendency to move and things like that. So I've actually seen pictures of people driving screws straight through the EMT, for example.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it. I've seen it on job sites.
Yeah, but here the exception here says through the board hole, if you run EMT, you don't have to do anything. Yeah. Good. Exception.
Oh, man. Mike threw 5 on it, and sweet. Joe Bellantoni threw 20 down.
Man.
Joe, that's my CMECPs out there, dude. All right.
They just make the big bucks, man.
Big bucks, you know? Hey, they care, big Jay. Bucks. They care. What else is there out there for electricians each week? Nothing. We're it, baby. All right. So let's look at this real quick. Item number 5. Okay. So now we're talking about direct burial where identified for such use. Okay. So this is where we first start to see something, Jay, where we can take MC cable and we can directly bury it in the earth. Okay.
Yeah.
And, or we could actually kind of start to see some of the things that are going to set the stage for being able to put it, for example, in concrete. All right, so let's look at this. Translation. It should go without saying that if you direct bury something, it would have to be rated for a wet location. Obviously, everything that's going to be 300.6, it's going to be in a outside or in the ground, it's all going to be a wet location. So it doesn't matter if it was liquid tight, doesn't matter what raceway it is, doesn't matter if a cable is listed for use outside, it's going to be a wet location. Okay, so the conductors inside of it will have to be wet location rated. That should be a given, right? So, but in order to be rated for direct bury, which means it has to pass another element of what's called a crush and impact, but a crush and cover, it has to pass UL 854. And in doing that, it's a little higher test, and all those tests come under UL 2556, which is a collection of tests that we as manufacturers have to do. In order to be direct burial rated, it has to get tested, Jay, and it has to pass the same test that normal MC would, except for it gets bumped up to 2,000 pounds of crush, and that crush cannot rupture the PVC jacket that goes over it. So it can crush down, but you can't find any ruptures in the actual extruded membrane, okay? So what do we do with the MC cable? Regular MC, we take it and we extrude over top of it a PVC jacketing. And it extrudes right over top of the MC, okay? So if it is rated for direct burial, it'll be printed right on the side of it. And that extruded jacket over it is going to be marked direct burial, and that can go right into the ground, okay? Actually, I do still work. I am a head of codes and standards for a leading wire and cable manufacturer that happens to be sponsoring the show tonight. Whoop, whoop. All right.
Go Encore.
There you go. All right. So there's a sample of our product right there. You see the jacketing sheathing over the armor. And again, aluminum.
Yep.
And another misconception. People say, can you put aluminum conductors in the ground? Absolutely. Copper or aluminum. Doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
But people wonder about
URD
all the time.
That we use URD all the time, which is single conductors. Mm-hmm. And we lay them in the ground all the time for subby bros.
Subby.
You know?
I don't know why. People think that the aluminum can't go in the ground. The limitation of aluminum conductors, Jay, has to do with terminations. When it emerges and it terminates, then you have the old 18 inches, unless the equipment's rated for termination lower than 18 inches and things like that outside. But as far as conductors, aluminum or copper, doesn't matter. They can go. They're
I use them all the time. I use them for ranges, double ovens. Mm-hmm. I use 6-4 SCR cable for our basement panels. So.
Yep. And again, like I said, outside, in the ground, it's not going to have any adverse effect. You're fine. Okay?
It's a lot lighter.
Yeah, it is a lot lighter. It is a lot lighter. And again, obviously it has to be a little larger to carry the same amount of current as a copper would. But since all of aluminum pretty much today is compact aluminum, means it has no interstices inside of it, those little voids between strands, so it replicates a smaller footprint. So even though copper is going to be smaller and carry at the same, you know, ampacity value, copper would be smaller than the aluminum. Because all of the aluminum is compact today, it's really not a huge difference like it used to be. It used to be when it was concentric, means it had all those round strands, and then you had these little voids, and that takes up space. Well, now everybody pretty much uses compact, so it doesn't have the same issue as it used to be, okay?
I did a service call a few days ago where they had a 4-square box behind the double oven. And so the customer pulled out the double oven and opened up the 4-square blank. And it was 6-4 SCR aluminum. And it was spliced with the blue bigger wire nuts, it wasn't a special aluminum to copper. And then the leads from the double oven were copper. So they took their 6-4 SCR aluminum to the whip from the double oven copper and just put it in a blue wire nut, and it actually burnt.
We have dissimilar metals going on, and that's a potential weak point there. So definitely not a good thing to do.
It burned up the blue wire nut. So for sure. So I went in and I ended up using some butt splices.
And hopefully those butt splices were rated to use from copper to aluminum.
Oh, they were. They had CU/AL.
Because I wouldn't want to ding you twice tonight for violations. No. Just saying. All right. And I know you didn't use automobile splices, so.
You're right.
Yeah, all right. Item number 6. So this one is saying cable tray were identified for use. So this is when you see marked on the side of your MC. Now, the regular MC that you would see with the armor, whether it's aluminum or steel, because it can be either one, they're not going to have any printing on it. So it's going to be on a tag or a label that's on the coil, or if it's in a bundle barrel, like we sell it in barrel packs. You can get it in just massive amounts of wire length on these barrels. So the standard allows me to actually mark it on the side of the barrel. But what you'll see is if it is rated for use in a cable tray, which means that it passed the minimum UL 1685 Method 1 test that we talked about earlier, then you'll see on there CT use or cable tray use. And if you see that marked on there, then you know that it met the minimum required standard to go inside of a cable tray. And it has to be marked as such, okay? Now, if you see something like IEEE 1202 or FT4, then you know that it just went to an even higher level, okay? Even higher. So we have the minimum requirement with this method 1, and then we have a higher level, which would be considered method 2 of 1685, which is equivalent to IEEE 1202 or FT4, which incidentally, Jay, FT4 is a Canadian standard, but it's equivalent to the engineer standard of 1202, which is equivalent to 1685 method 2, in case y'all folks didn't know that, okay? So if your MC cable has a tag, it says it's okay for CT use, slap it in a cable tray, follow all the rules in 392, and you're good to go, right? And this is just some examples of different types of cable trays. The ladder, cable tray, cable trunk. Difference is some of them are rungs, and you have specific spacing. And then you have perforated bottoms cable trays, and of course you have what's called a solid bottom cable trunking system that these type of MCs can go in all these types of different assorted type of cable trays. The one thing I will remind people all the time is Jay, there is quite a bit of confusion out there when they look through the code and they see something about cable trays. They want to think that it's a raceway, and cable trays are not raceways. They are just a supporting system, okay? They're not a raceway. They don't have to be meet the rules where you see in the code it says something about raceway, okay? They are not a raceway. They are nothing more than a supporting system that you can put wiring methods into, okay? It's supporting it, okay?
Yeah, Estrada said, can you name some benefits of direct burial of MC? Is it cheaper?
I'm not going to say it's cheaper because you could probably – so there's a lot more involved, right? With the MC, you've got – not only you got the inner conductors, which incidentally the inner conductors of the MC are exactly the same as a tray cable's inners. They're all the same. But putting conductors directly in the burial ground like a direct burial USE-2 is probably going to be cheaper than a PVC jacketed MC. Okay, you can do tray cable direct buried, and that might ultimately be cheaper than an MC. But an MC is, a lot of people just love the MC because MC could transition between the ground and into a building, whereas tray cable could not.
Without a splice point.
Right. Of course, I am the inventor of a new product at Encore Wire called Hybrid Cable, which is tray
still
cable.
Still waiting on
and,
my role.
Yeah, it is tray cable.
I don't even think it exists, man.
No, go look up a patent.
I haven't even seen it.
Go look on U.S. Patent and Trademark. You'll see my name on it. But that's called a hybrid cable. That allows you to go from ground into a building, but just like you could do with an MC. But again, as advantages of the MC, is PVC jacketed MC is readily available in most places, that type of thing. And it makes for a nice, easy transition, whereas tray cable can't come into a building unless it's inside of a raceway, in a cable tray, on messengers or direct bury. So there's some limitations with tray cable that you don't have with MC cable. And I'm rapidly running out of time. Some other tidbits to think about with tray cables is that the most common types of cables that go into a cable tray system are TC cables, PLTC, instrumentation tray cable, metal clad, again, very popular to put MC cable in a cable tray. MI cable, believe it or not, is used a lot as a supporting system, inside of a supporting system like a cable tray. Fiber optic cables are run in cable trays all the time. Communication cables, CMP, CMR, CMG, that's the plenum rated, riser rated, or general use, all of those are run in cable trays all the time. And again, it's very common to use cable trays for fire alarm cables, non-power limited and power limited, all in circuit integrity. All of those utilize cable trays all the time. So it's kind of just a tidbit of kind of the eight most important aspects of run in a cable tray when it comes to cables, that is. In raceways. Okay, Jay, here's the one we got to now. So the question that people always ask, can you put MC cable? Chris, I'm not supposed to answer your questions. I've had my master license since 1989. Okay, in multiple states, Chris. How about you, bro? How many master license do you have, and how many states?
All right. He has a master slacker's license.
Master slacker? That's only in Colorado, you doobie smoker, you. All right, so in raceways, translation, can I put an MC cable inside of a raceway? Absolutely, especially if I need to do it for protection from physical damage, right? If I have to worry about physical damage, then I want to run MC cable. But let's say I'm in an area where somebody says, no, you can't use it. But I want to use it because it's a quick, convenient, comes on big reels, comes on big amounts. So I don't have to pull wires later. It already comes pre-done. Then in this case, I can sleeve it. Now, let me give you some caveats. You ready, Jay? If I have a box to a box and I sleeve it in a box that's connected at both ends, then I have to do a raceway fill calculation. I have to treat that cable like a single conductor, and I can't exceed the raceway fill requirements of Chapter 9, Table 1, and 53% for a single conductor. So I can't exceed 53%. If it's just the short sections, and we have no definition of what short is in the code, but if it's open on each end and it's not connected to a box, then it is truly being used for physical protection. Then I don't have to worry about a raceway fill calculation. Okay? So be careful how you use it. If you're truly using it for physical damage protection and it's rigid, intermediate, ENT, or PVC Schedule 80, or all those that are okay for physical damage protection, then sleeve it all you want. Okay? Not a problem.
Didn't I tell you when we were talking about the MC that I installed outside, I said, well, I guess I could have just put it in a piece of liquid tight.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, no, because that raceway outside is still considered wet location.
Yeah, so if the product is rated for a dry location and you put it in a wiring method outside, it's still a wet location.
Right.
Even though somebody wants to say liquid tight, it ain't never going to be liquid tight, Jay. It ain't never. I can tell you right now, you seal these raceways, you chemically seal it with PVC glue, and you make all these couplings up and everything, you're going to have water all in these raceways. You're going to have water in here because even in liquid tight, what happens is you've got conductors that are giving off heat, so they've got what's called mutual heating from other conductors in there, and you got an exterior ambient temperature that's different from interior ambient temperatures, which create its own little mini micro atmosphere that's going to have condensation and all types of stuff in it. That goes way more than we want to talk about tonight, but that can happen. And so you're going to have moisture in there, okay? So again, all raceways are designed to drain. You have to arrange to drain so that it allows moisture to get out of those raceways. And so anyway, so again, if it's for physical damage, for example, yes, if I want to sleeve it in a raceway, just to sleeve it in a raceway, absolutely, you're still allowed to do that. You're just going to have to be careful about raceway fill calculation. Can I sleeve NMB in a raceway? People wonder that all the time. Absolutely, just not outside in a wet location. Perfectly fine. So, again, perfectly okay to put it in a raceway, and you get that permission from item 7 right there. Number 8, aerial cable on a messenger. Translation? Here is one of the most misunderstood applications of metal clad cable. Article 396, which is messenger supported wiring, it directly states in 396.10A all the different types of cable methods that can be supported from an aerial messenger system. And of course, in that list in 396.10A, go check it out. You'll see that MC cable is listed there. So again, if it's outdoors, it's PVC jacketed MC, it's being supported independently from a messenger support system, then you're okay to run MC cable for that application. Again, wet location, PVC jacketed, got to meet all those rules, but yes, okay to do that. And this is an example of a messenger, and this is individual conductors, but it could have just as easily been MC PVC jacketed on it as well. But this kind of gives you an idea. A messenger is a supporting system from point A to point B. It's secured at each end. It could be from building to building, from building to structure, from building to pole. Okay? All of those applications, that's what a messenger does, and it's allowed to support individual cables or individual conductors as well in a messenger, all listed in 396.10. You'll have a list of different things that can be supported from a messenger. This is just another example of a messenger. Jay can't see this, maybe, but again.
Well, I can see it through the.
Oh, you're watching the thing? Okay.
Yeah, because so, I was looking because Peg asked direct burial UF okay to sleeve in PVC to enter the building, and I'd say yes.
Yes. Now, remember, if it enters the building, you're also going to have to seal the opening again. So, raceway seals to make sure that you're sealing it as it comes into the actual building so moisture doesn't protrude into the building. But you're able to do that as well, and many people do that. Okay. Next. Item 9, Jay, hazardous classified locations were specifically permitted by other articles in the code. So yep. MC cable can be used in Class 1, Class 2, or Class 3, Division 1, and Division 2 with certain caveats. For example, interlocked wouldn't be allowed in a Class 1, Division 1, for example, or even 2. But it might allow smooth or corrugated to be used because, remember, we're talking about MC in general. It just so happens that the most frequently used is interlocked. But you still have the smooth, which is called continuous because it's a continuous extrusion. It's kind of like a tube, if you will. And then you have corrugated, which comes out very similar, but it's a welded tape. So again, you have smooth, which is continuous, corrugated, and interlocked. Interlocked is very limited in its use in a hazardous location. Okay, very limited. But the point of this rule is saying, hey, if somewhere else in the NEC says that you can use MC cable, go for it. And it'll tell you what kind you have to use. Trust me. It'll tell you whether it can be smooth or corrugated or whether interlock's permitted. It'll tell you right in those other areas of the code. Okay? So that's the reason why it says permitted by other articles of this code, because somewhere else in the code might permit you to use it. And that's giving you an allowance to do that. Item number 10, in dry locations and embedded in plaster finish on brick or other masonry, except in damp or wet locations. So, Jay, this is saying, look, MC is a dry-rated product. You can use it anywhere that it's a dry location. In the walls or a dry location, okay? Exterior walls, in the walls is a dry location. Yep. Interior walls, dry location, perfectly fine. It also says, and I'll also let you do this, Jay. I will let you take that MC, and I will let you embed that in plaster finish, whether it's on brick or other masonry, unless it's a damp or wet location, because that material, plaster and things like that, tend to absorb moisture. And we don't want this armor and all this sitting around in contact with constant moisture. Okay? So if it's a dry location, and it's plaster brick, it's plaster finish on brick or masonry, then you can embed it in the plaster all you want. Plaster will dry out. It's not an issue. But as long as it can't be in a damp or wet location. Now, interesting enough, in the NEC, when it comes to 330 for MC cable, we either have dry or we have wet. We have nothing in there about damp. In fact, this is the first time you see damp at all in 330. Okay, and the reality is 1569, the standard for MC, doesn't even mention the word damp. So if it's wet, then it is more restrictive than damp. So anything that's wet is okay for a damp location. Anything that is dry is generally applies to a dry location. So if I've got a damp location, then I'm going to go with the wet rated MC. No. Okay, because that's more restrictive. Okay. All right, item number 11. Now, this is where we get to wet locations, Jay. What makes an MC able to now be used in a wet location?
Yeah, it's going to be where a corrosive-resistant jacket is provided over the metallic covering and any of the following conditions are met. And you have A, B, and C.
So we usually will put the PVC material over the metallic covering. Right?
Oh, yeah.
So that meets the
first
item.
Yeah, which is that PVC MC that you were talking about that I could use outside.
So look at the next three, A, B, and C.
So A is the...
What does A say?
The metallic covering is impervious to moisture?
Yes, so that would be an example of a smooth type of MC, where that would be impervious to moisture. So that's an extrusion. That is the use of a smooth or continuous type of MC. That would be an allowance for that to be okay for a wet location.
And then we got B. It says a jacket resistant to moisture is provided under the metal covering.
So that would be you have the conductors. Then you're going to have a jacket of PVC material or whatnot over top of the conductors. And then you put the armor over it. So you're going to have a corrosive-resistant jacket over the armor, and then in that case, underneath it, you have another jacket that is over the inner conductors, okay? Oh. And ironically enough, those inner conductors would not have to be rated for a wet location if you use B as an option, okay? So, I mean, just to explain it, I could have THHN, for example, inside of that and not THWN if they made it anymore. It's all dual-rated now. But I could have it in there because I have to put that jacket resistant to moisture over top of it first. And then I put the armor over it. And then I have to meet the general rule is I have to put a corrosive resistant jacket over it. Okay.
Over that.
Yeah. So C is the one that almost all of us manufacturers that manufacture the most commonly used product in the industry is interlocked MC. That's the most widely used product out there. And for us to get a wet location rating, we take normal MC, which is the inner conductors. It's wrapped with a polymeric wrap, and then the armor is placed over it, and then we extrude PVC material over the armor, okay? So the inner conductors that are inside of it are wet location rated, and that would be THHN/THWN-2 or XHHW-2. The W is what creates the wet location rating, okay? So that would be, and you notice in A, it says metallic covering that is impervious to moisture. Well, that means examples of, again, continuous or smooth metal clad cable, okay? So that would be an example of that. In B, the manufacturer, again, could place an additional jacket under the armor over the internal conductors and meet their requirement as well, like we just said. And of course, third is the C, which is what we all do, and we put wet location rated conductors in there. So even if it's rated for use without the PVC on it, and we use it indoors like normal MC, the conductors inside of it are still going to be wet rated. Whether or not it's a dry location only product or not, it can't become wet rated unless it meets the general requirement and one of the options A, B, or C. And we use C. Most all manufacturers will use C. Okay? And again, that's where you see these THWN-2 and XHHW-2 is typically what is used in those products. Lastly, item 12 in our list is where single conductor cables are used. It says all phase conductors and where used, the grounded conductors shall be grouped together to minimize inductive voltage on the sheathing. So think of it this way, Jay. And here's how I like to explain this to people. You think of MI cable. So MI cable, mineral insulated, is actually an individual conductor. And so if you need multiple conductors to complete a circuit, they're each going to be run independently. But they have to be run in close proximity because we have what's called expanding and contracting magnetic fields that can induce voltage over onto any metal that might be near it, in this case, the armor. And it can create all kinds of problems in a system, okay? And we know how what phantom voltage costs all of us, the headaches when you're out there testing systems. Same kind of concept, but basically this is requiring you to run all the phase conductors and any of the grounded conductors all together, okay? And this is what this is saying, all right? So many people ask me, do they make an MC cable with only one single conductor in it? And yes, they do. And they go, well, where would you ever use something like that? Well, this is an example when you'd use it. It's where it would be used for, say, a two-hour fire-restrictive cable. Whereas, now this is an example of an actual armor that is continuous, smooth. You see that there's no welds there. That's a continuous extrusion. And it has a single conductor in it. Now, this gets tested under UL 2196 to meet what's called a two-hour fire-resistant cable. And if they had the need for three hots and a neutral, then they would run three of these independently with a separate neutral, and they have to keep them in close proximity. That's what right. That's what item 12 was all about, right? So for those that are not used to that, that's what a single conductor MC cable may look like right there. And this one just happens to have copper armor, okay? All right. Anything you want to add to that, Jay? Have you ever seen anything like that? You probably haven't worked with any of that two-hour fire-resistant cables.
No, not the two-hour stuff. I did a lot of high-rises when I did commercial and I was working for other people coming up because I came up in the commercial background, so we were always pulling MC cable, and it kind of reminded me about the message you said a few weeks ago about how there's a right way and a wrong way
to pull it.
Studs. And even that, we would always try to pull it the proper way. And you'd get a guy or two that would struggle, and you'd kind of laugh at him. You'd watch him struggle until about the first half of the day. Then you'd say, okay, man, let me show you how to actually pull this MC cable. So you teach the younger guys. The one thing I didn't like about the MC cable is just how dirty it made your hands.
The oil.
You know?
Yeah, you know you know where all that comes from? Actually, that oil that you'll see on the MC cable, for those that are used to it, familiar with it, and some has more than others, the oil actually comes from where it goes in and it has the tooth that actually makes the interlock. It's actually that friction that takes place, the actual oil keeps it cool. Okay.
Nick said it's called war paint.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Start putting it under here. Just the smell of it and your gloves, man, they'd be all just dirty.
Some has more than others. Some are is really oily and some, but it's all part of the because, you know, when the tape goes into the machine, Jay, it is a flat tape. And it has to go in and feed it, and it actually gets bent around through a forming, I guess it's called a forming tooth, and it actually bends it, and these things make all these sounds, and it bends it around and forms the interlock, and the oil helps facilitate that. And so that's where all the oil comes from. Okay? That's why you get all that oil. All right. So now it's time to examine real quickly the uses not permitted. Again, this is not an all-inclusive list of permitted uses, but that's the gist of what's in the NEC. There's always people coming up with other types of uses. Just make sure you consult with your AHJ. And now we're going to talk about uses not permitted in 330.12, and you're going to see how we use this because this is where people get really confused. Okay? So we cannot fully embrace where we can use MC cable until we understand where we cannot use MC cable. So here's what the National Electrical Code says under 330.12. Use is not permitted. It says, type MC cable shall not be used under either of the following conditions. We got two conditions here. Number one, we already know that it can't be used where subject to physical damage. Okay, well, we've learned today, Jay, we have a way around that by sleeving it in one of the raceways that is rated for subject to physical damage. So we could get around that. But we couldn't put it anywhere that we obviously be exposed to physical damage, those type of things. For example, I couldn't run it down the side of my house, even if it was in PVC jacketed, on the side of my house next to my driveway, knowing how my wife drives. So that would obviously be subject to physical damage, okay? No matter how you did it, it's subject to physical damage. She doesn't listen to the show, so I'm good. All right, no emails to wife at MasterTheNEC.com because we won't get it. All right, so number two, it says we're exposed to any destructive corrosive conditions in A or B unless, now this is important, folks, listen, unless the metallic sheathing or armor is resistant to the conditions or is protected by material that's resistant to the conditions. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, PVC jacketed MC is resistant to destructive corrosive conditions. If you look at any chemical chart that talks about PVC material, most of the applications you're going to deal with cinder fills, chlorides, alkalis, caustic, you know, vapors, chlorine, bromine, hydrochloric acids. In fact, I did a test for 18 months and I put PVC jacketed MC in a vacuum chamber with hydrochloric acid to see what would happen over 18 months. And you know what happened, Jay? Nothing happened. The PVC was fine. The armor was fine. But I had a control sample right next to it. And the control sample was regular MC with no jacket. What do you think happened to the MC with no jacket?
Oh, it probably started deteriorating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Less than 2 weeks, it started turning white. The next thing you know, by the time it got to about 4 months into it, it just started corroding. So that PVC material is very protective for corrosive conditions. So what are we saying here? If I can install it in the earth, then it says, okay, what does A say? All right, so I'm protecting it by putting the PVC material on it. So the first one says I can't put it in locations for conditions A or B unless it's protected by material resistant to the conditions. So A says you can't direct bury it in the earth or embed it in concrete unless identified for direct burial. Well, what did we say earlier? PVC jacketed MC, and no, Jay didn't jump out of his window. He's still there somewhere, okay? It is rated for direct bury, so MC cable that is rated for direct bury can be in contact with the earth. It can go in the earth, but it also can be embedded in concrete as long as it's marked direct burial. So I get that question all the time. And another question I get from people, Jay, and I'm talking an awful lot to Jay, but again, because I'm just leading the conversation a little bit tonight, Jay. Jump in anytime, Jay. You still hear me? He can hear me. He's here. He's playing with stuff. So people ask me, why would I use, for example, PVC jacketed MC in a slab? And because I want to have a raceway there so I can pull conductors in later. And I tell designers this. If you know your loads like you're supposed to, and you design it like you're supposed to, the thought that you could put a raceway in and you're going to follow raceway field calculations, that all of a sudden, out of the blue, at some point you want to pull all those conductors out and put larger ones in, you're probably going to be prohibited anyway because of raceway fill. So my point is, there is absolutely nothing wrong with MC embedded in the concrete in your applications in a slab, as long as you know that what you need as far as the load. And if you want to go a little bigger, that's fine if you're worried about that. But again, it's all about the loads. And again, I just think people all the time think, well, I just run a raceway because I can pull conductors in it later. I can pull bigger conductors. Well, not unless you make the raceway bigger. And that increases cost. And half the time when people are designing it, they're only worried about the raceway feel for what they're installing. So you would have to think about it a little bit, okay? And you just can't just go, you know, so you could just simply put PVC jacketed MC in a slab if that's what you want to do. And as long as you size it right, no harm, no foul, right? And of course, B would be, again, exposed to cinder fill, chlorides, caustic alkali, vapor of chlorine or whatever. Trust me, PVC is very resistant. In fact, now, as of 2020, it's been very clearly made clear up in 680 for pool applications that you can use MC cable for those applications because the PVC is very resistant. And if you start looking at it, it gives you a list of what's considered okay for those corrosive environments. And it doesn't say MC because MC is listed. And again, the PVC jacketing does meet that condition of use, despite what anybody wants to say. They don't know how to read the code because that's the way it says it. And thank you very much. So there you go. That's your uses permitted. And again, that's the same thing that's on the screen right here. So I don't need to regurgitate any of that as well. But that PVC extrusion is very, 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 very strong stuff. And just have to be careful when you install it that you don't, you know, damage it in any way. Okay? That's a lot of info. So now I'm off of that info, and we'll just come back to me and you. So, Jay, what questions do you have? What questions do y'all have out there that I have missed? And I sped up a little bit because I knew we were getting a little long in the tooth on a one-hour show. But anything you wanna add on that, Jay, about the MC, other than the fact that you violate the code when you use yours outside? Right. So,
well, I've also used MC in and attached it to plastic boxes, non-metallic nail-on boxes.
Yeah, as long as you have an internal component that allows you to make up the equipment grounds, then you can do that. Yeah. Of course, many people also ask about using the armor for MC cable as an equipment ground. You can't do that in regular MC. That's why it has an equipment ground inside of it, which incidentally could be bare or insulated, but most of the time for branch circuit, it's insulated equipment ground. For feeders, it's usually bare. That's a manufacturer's choice, okay? You know, the code would allow it to be bare or insulated either way. It's just the only problems you run into that is if you want to use MC, for example, in a healthcare facility. So if you've got a situation at a patient care space in 517.13 A and B, whereas you could have a patient care space and then you would have to use a healthcare facility type of MC cable, and that's where you have redundancy. So the armor has to qualify, and then you have to have an insulated equipment ground inside as well. So you have to have two paths. In order to do that, you have MC that's got an actual tape that runs all the way down and makes intimate contact with all of the convolutions. And by doing that, it actually acts like AC cable, believe it or not. Because AC cable, the armor is used as an equipment ground. That type of thing. So again, that's a special type of MC. And if everybody ever wants that, we can do a show on all the different types of MCs. The smart ground, or for another manufacturer, it's called MCAP. Encore calls it smart ground. Then we have what's called healthcare facility smart ground, and all these different types of MC cables. Really not the topic of the night show, but there's all the different types out there that you can do. So, Jay.
Man, what an interesting chat tonight.
I haven't been watching the chat, so I don't know.
They get interesting when we have a planned out show, because they tend to get off track and have their own side combo, which is awesome.
Their own little discussions.
We love the show. Sometimes I know we get a little cozy, and we still like to have fun. So thanks everybody for joining in. Thanks Chris, Nick, Michael, Bill Cosby, Joel. Joel asked if we could do a show on 348. Probably cover something like that. Let's see. Yeah, Elwood. Elwood showed up. Peg, Javier. There's a bunch of regular guys and gals, so thanks for showing up tonight. I think we had one from a guy from Africa that's watching us, which is
sweet.
Cool.
I wonder what time it is in Africa.
I don't know, man. It's probably pretty late or pretty early.
I was going to say, I would think pretty.
Dominate Kenya, Africa, so.
Cool. Oh, okay. Sweet. Go. Sweet. Yeah, we got a bunch of Peg is here, and Joel, Michael.
What do you got, Joel? What's the question? Throw it out there.
Who's that? Joel got a question?
I don't know, Nick. Nick says the only gal is my wife. There's sometimes, Nick, you'd be surprised how many gals listen to this show.
Is Peg a girl? And no offense, Peg, if it's not, but... just saying, there's Mandingos.
Hey, Mandingos. The coolest chick. You are the coolest chick.
The question is, he has, I see here, there you go. See, Peg's a chick. She's here.
Yep.
See? Moise, can you put MC in a plastic box? You can, as long as you have a mechanism to be able to make up the equipment grounds and the ability to bond the MC, because you have to still bond the MC. So it obviously makes it more complicated. You're required to bond the end of the MC. So, again, you would bring it in. You probably have to have a fitting on it, and you're going to have to bond the MC. So it makes it much more difficult to try to do that to a plastic box, because you might have the equipment ground there, but you still have to bond the MC, because the code requires that you bond all metal raceways, all metal cables, all of it has to be bonded together. So you can't just leave it hanging. Going to have to bond it. Going to have some provision to bond it. So it just makes it much more difficult. When you use a fitting and you take it to, now, when you take it to a box, then it usually that bonding takes place from the cable to the fitting to the box. If it's plastic, got a harder time to meet those requirements. Okay? But if you can find a way and you can find a box that meets those requirements, then, you know, don't believe there's any problem with it. Now, the only other limit you might have is if the box is not rated to be used with. So a lot of the nail-up boxes are designed to be used with non-metallic sheath cable. And so would it be a problem with the listing of that box to use it with a metal clad cable? That could be a problem. But I think Jay's probably talking, there's some other boxes that are made out there that do have knockouts in it, and you can come to that box. And if I had a plastic non-metallic and I came to a box with a knockout, for example, and I connected it to it, then I would have to put a bushing on the end of it, bonding bushing or whatever, in order to be able to make that connection to the metal armor. Because I got to make that connection, okay? So I can't just say, forget about it. I'm going to have to make that connection. So however you do it, that's what you're going to have to do. All right. What else we got, Jay? Is that it for tonight? What do we got for next week? What is next week's topic?
Next week's topic.
Just so we can kind of let people know.
Coming up.
Huh?
I know we have some pretty good ones coming up. We have countertops, I believe, is one. And let me go here.
So we're doing like you should do, is you go to electricianlive.com, and you will see a list of upcoming shows.
Okay, so the 23rd is using the white or gray conductor as an ungrounded hot conductor.
Fact or fiction. So it looks like we're going to be examining Article 200 a little bit and looking at white and gray grounded neutral conductors and the ability to re-identify. And we're probably going to talk about a bunch of things there when you can re-identify it in a cable for use as a ungrounded hot conductor in all kinds of applications. So we're probably, that'd be a pretty good topic because, again, that was a recent change a couple cycles ago to even allow you to do that in sizes smaller than 4 gauge if it's inside of a cable assembly. So that would be a pretty good show. So
I'm kind of was looking over Joel. He says, because Joel had a question in 348.20A2B.
What has that got to do with MC cable, Jay?
I don't know. He wanted to throw it out there, though. He just had a question on it. 348.20A2B.
It's part of a listed assembly?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. So you have to be more. You have to be more context than what this is. So that is minimum size. FMC is flexible metallic conduit, less than metric designator 16 or trade size half, shall not be used unless permitted in 348.20A1 through A5. So this is an allowance for you to be able to use an FMC with a metric designator less than a half. And this is just giving you some allowances when you might be able to utilize that. Okay? So
and then in this as case, part of a listed assembly.
So this would be 3/8. So one of the examples is you've seen luminaires that have the junction box and the luminaire, and there is a, looks like a, an FMC that's connecting.
Yes.
Actually, it looks like an MC, but it's an FMC. That is example of where that's typically going to be 3/8, and as long as you meet the rules for that. So here it says, in length, and I guess he says for two, he says, in length not exceeding 6 feet for any of the following uses. A, for utilization equipment. So if FMC is designed as part of utilization equipment, which is very broad because, again, sometimes certain appliances can be considered utilization equipment. And so if it's designed with it, then it's okay. It can, the FMC could be smaller than a half trade size. In fact, it could be 3/8 is what it's kind of talking about. B, it says part of a listed assembly. So if it is built into something and it's a part of its construction or some assembly, then it would be okay to be smaller than a half. Otherwise, again, FMC is not to be smaller than half, but it allows it to be 3/8 if it's part of a listed assembly. So this is not something, Jay, that you're going to go out and make. This is some type of listed assembly you buy.
Okay. I think, and a lot of times when we would do schools, like I talked about before, we would put in a lot of troffers, a lot of 2x4 troffers.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of making our own whips that you're allowed to do, we would just purchase the troffers that had the listed assembly whips with them that came
already
with
it.
Pretty much. They were already made up in there. So all we had to do was take that other end of that listed assembly whip and just put that half-inch KO. Even though it's a 3/8 probably trade size, it still had a half-inch knockout on it, so you can go into, you know, a four-square shallow or deep. We always like the deeps, you know. I always go, the deeper the box, the better, obviously, because you could get more wires into it. You never know when you have to tap into that sucker again.
Yeah.
But and that's where I think that is at, Joel. That's the piece that comes with it.
Yeah,
and again, we used
C,
to do it with troffer.
The C is example for tap connections to luminaires as permitted in 410.17C. So that's an example of where we have a luminaire and it has one of those 3/8-inch FMCs on it that would go over as a tap from the branch circuit over to it. Be one of an example of that to supply the luminaire. And so that's just different examples for when you would do it. So anyway, hopefully answered that question on the fly. Jay, I don't know. Let's see here. I don't know. Is there anything else that we want to cover tonight in this episode? MC related? No.
How do you donate to Super Chat? There's a right down by the chat public.
Oh, a little
where you
dollar
put your
symbol
input,
thing.
There's a little money symbol.
Little
I think,
money
to
thing.
The right peg.
I don't have a. I don't have anything for money. But that is a way to say thank you, and we appreciate all of you
listening.
Show
me the money.
Yep, and We covered a lot of stuff in 1 hour, dude. There are people that spend an entire, week in study on all these different uses permitted for MC cable. I know because, again, most people know that I went to an electrical school that was 2 years long. It wasn't like an apprentice night. I went 5 days a week from 7 in the morning until 4:30 in the evening every day in school. And that's where I learned my trade. And we spent so much time on the minutia of things, right? And so, again, we're giving to you a lot. So maybe the 30,000-foot view, but we're giving it to you. So, and I guess, Jay, also I should say for all of those that are members of our Fast Tracks program, hopefully you'll get my email for our next private session Monday or Tuesday. I know you'll be there, Jay, for a class on Wednesday night. I'm excited about that. We're going to do raceway field calculations, and we're even going to talk about how to do calculations for cables inside of raceways. So whoever asked that question earlier. So we're going to do that. And for those that are subscribing members over on the YouTube channel, that is the Electrician Live Exam Prep Live level and higher. You're going to get access to that as well. I usually post in there a day or so before the session with your access and key and code and everything so that you folks can get in there as well if you want to come and join us on Wednesday nights. I don't do the public one on Wednesday anymore. Okay, I know. Where's my boohoo thing? Oh. Nope, it's dedicated to our students and those that, that's what we're doing now for that. And it worked out pretty good. So,
yeah, it actually is really nice because I was telling you before I have that E2 test I have to take because I signed up last year coming up for it. And they give you 365 days. Well, I went back and looked at it and it was from March 22nd. So, yeah, I have a exam on the E2 for the ICC coming up. So what I'm doing is even though I'm in the residential program with studying right now, I still go to the bottom and open up the exam questions because you have over 1,500 exam questions, if not more, practice exams there. So I'm also doing that. Thanks, Peg, for the donation. And thank you, Joel, for the donation as well. So even though I'm in my residential study program and I'm going for my commercial license, I'm still able to kind of use both because what I like about those programs that you provide, whether they're residential, commercial, or industrial, those practice exams that we're able to log on to and take, they're based on the whole NEC.
Right.
It's not just residential. Even though it says residential, I think there's more questions maybe pertaining to residential, but I see like an MC question or an FMC question or even sometimes a motor question. So, again, it's a good way to study. And
yeah, we just put them – it's just categorized them, but it doesn't mean that all of them are residential, all of them are commercial. Yeah, it just kind of had to throw them in some kind of category. I'm a believer. People ask me all the time when I do exam prep, they go, do you have a course for the journeyman and one for the master? And I say, no, I have one exam prep because I believe code is code.
It's still
I teach
based
you to learn it all, okay?
Whatever it is.
There you go. It's still based I don't think the NEC is broken into red. The closest you can get to that is 210.52 area, which is for receptacle spacing, blah, 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 for resident. Other than that, the only thing that differentiates the journeyman from the master is the fact that you're probably not going to get a whole lot of transformer stuff maybe on a journeyman, okay? But at the scope of things, you're probably not going to get that many transformers in an exam anyway. So very few. So,
and at the end of the day, all the questions equal the same amount, and that's one point on the exams that I've ever taken. So, I think you teach this way is you go through it really quick and answer the ones and build that confidence. Because, again, when you go into these exams, you know, some people clam up, myself too. You start questioning yourself, and then as you get going and like you said, you go through the exam, you knock out a couple of them, and you start getting into a rhythm, you knock out a couple more, and then your second or third go around through it, you're finding questions or answers of questions that you've already muscle memory. So maybe you stop at one and you find one, you go back. I've had that happen a few times too. So,
yep. And we'll talk about that.
I love the exams.
Yeah, we're talking about all that during our exam prep. So, again, if you're studying for an exam or you just want more knowledge of the NEC, get into that program. Or get into the subscription and you can be a part of our Wednesday night private session. Okay? All right, if you want more on that, you can obviously email me as well if you're still like, what is he talking about? info@masterthenec.com, and or you can go to our website, and there's a contact button on there. Click the contact button, fill out the information. It'll go to me, and I will answer your questions. All right? Well, Jay, I think that's it for tonight, bro. I think we've covered it. Anything else we want to bring for anybody? We appreciate all of you. Definitely thank you for the donations. It's much appreciated. Definitely helps us put out the content. Got some new videos coming out. And again, we got electrical blunders coming out next month, but we have another class. We'll have another electrician live before then. So, all right. I guess that's it, everybody. We appreciate you. Till next time, folks, stay safe. God bless.
See you guys.
See ya.
You're listening to Electrician Live with your host, Paul Abernathy and Jay Brunberg.